Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Themis Medicare Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel, MD and CEO from Themis Medicare Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the fourth quarter and FY23 business and financial performance of Themis Medicare. With me, I have Tushar Dalal, who's our CFO, and Adfactors, our investor relations agency. Starting from where we left last quarter, we would like to bring to your notice that our focus on hospital business is intact, and several steps have been taken in that direction. The recruitment of an additional sales team, which had started earlier this year, has now been completed, and we also have recruited some top professionals from the industry to lead the same. Additionally, new product launches for this division are on the table for discussion, and we'll be finalizing them in due course of time. At this juncture, I would like to reiterate that last year, that is in FY22, we had a significant COVID-related one-time order under this business segment. The financials for this current year under discussion should be seen in that light. Now, coming to our API segment, in our last call, we had discussed about the pressure points on this business due to high input costs. As these challenges persist, we had to halt manufacturing of these APIs in the quarter under discussion. This had some impact on our top line, which was compensated to a certain extent by the formulation segment. At the same time, we had also stated about improving our manufacturing process and taking an alternative route for manufacturing the same. This is now being commercialized in Q1 of FY24. In terms of CapEx, we have incurred investments in certain areas to enhance our capabilities. We are upgrading our injectable line and investing in EU GMP certification, which will open doors for export opportunities. Additionally, we have made investments in expanding our R&D base at our Hyderabad facility and also establishing a new R&D lab at Baroda. We continue to invest in skilled manpower to enhance our R&D capabilities as a company. R&D remains an important backbone for product development and our future growth strategy. For reasons mentioned above, an increase of sales force, we see a significant increase in manpower costs of the company, which we believe it is an investment for future growth. Apart from this, there have been a few more important and exciting developments to share. We have received DCGI approval to market remifentanil hydrochloride injections in India for the first time. This drug, which we will market under the brand name Remi-Tem, is a rapid-acting narcotic analgesic that fulfills a long-awaited need in the Indian market. Additionally, we have also received a no-objection certificate from DCGI for manufacturing and marketing our diclofenac injections, 75 milligram per ml, which the company had stopped 3 years ago. We were market leaders in this earlier and are now evaluating timing and other aspects to relaunch it in the Indian market. Now, turning to our financial performance for Q4 first. We reported 80.1 crores in revenue during the quarter, an increase of 0.9% year-on-year. Our EBITDA for the quarter stands at 10.48 crores with an EBITDA margin of 13.08%. PAT for the quarter stood at 8.41 crores as against 9.95 crores in the fourth quarter of FY22, a year-on-year decline of 15.52%. The PAT margin stood at 10.49%, and the EPS for this quarter is at 9.13. For the full year 2023, we reported 354.32 crores in revenue during the financial year, as against 394.61 crores in FY22. Our EBITDA for the period stands at 67.45 crores, with EBITDA margin at 19.04%. PAT for the full year is 56.9 crores, and the PAT margin stood at 16.06%. The EPS for this period is 61.83. This is all from my side. I would like to open the floor for Q&A now. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from Narendra with White House Capital. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir.
Hello, can you hear me, sir? Yeah, there's a bit of echo coming in from your line. Let's give it a try.
Hello, can you hear me now, sir?
It's still there, but let's give it a try. And please go ahead.
I will join back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Keshav Garg with Counter Cyclical PMS. Please proceed.
Sir, I'm trying to understand, so that last year, FY22, sir, what were the COVID revenues that were absent during FY23?
We had a total revenue of slightly high, above 60 crores, which was directly COVID related. This was essentially revenue partly from the domestic market, but most importantly from the export market, where countries were in dire need of some critical care products. So even though we did not have registrations in those markets, those countries wanted those products from our end. So this is how the year resulted into a significantly higher spot business than one would expect.
Sir, so now from first quarter onwards of this financial year, there is a low base of last year. Sir, so you think that we can henceforth start clocking a growth of 35% CAGR that we had basically predicted for the next 3 years?
So we are most definitely expecting that kind of a growth this year in an annual form. It may or may not start from Q1, but over the course of the year, we certainly expect that.
So that is very heartening to know. And sir, on the operating margins front, sir, from 25% expected margins in the fourth quarter, sir, we clocked 13%, sir, which is maybe due to the operating deleverage in our API segment. So, but now with the expected ramp-up from the first quarter onwards, so when do you see our margin coming back to first 20% levels and thereafter to 25%?
I think definitely before the H1 numbers come in. And the reason for the increase or decrease rather in our margins in Q4, as I said in my opening remark, were twofold. One is definitely the API in question we had to stop selling, and whatever we sold was also at a very high material cost because those were contractual orders which were there. We had to supply them. And the second one was also, if you look at our numbers, there's been a significant increase in the manpower cost, in people's cost. And that is because of the new teams that we have put into place, which we hope will become productive in this particular year.
Great, sir. So basically, by the second quarter of this financial year, can we expect to come back at 20% margin?
We very much hope so.
Okay, sir. That's great. And sir, thank you very much and best of luck. Sir, one more thing, sir. In the September call also, sir, this receivable, high receivable was discussed. And sir, but it is still at, I mean, 145 crore levels, even though our revenues have declined by approximately over 10%. Sir, so, but our receivables are up basically 45% Y on Y. And sir, if we see our debtor days, it is like we are giving some 5 months credit, over 5 months credit to our customers. Sir, so is this number expected to come down?
So, two points on that. One is, in the previous year, the entire spot business which was done, which was about 60 odd crores, was all done on advance. So, that is one big change which is there from last year to this year. And in this particular year that we see, we have given some extra credit to some customers in exports, which we are planning to definitely change. So we hope that, again, as quarter and quarter goes by, our debtors will increase because we do not want to work at this level of debtors by any means.
Sir, so what should the steady state debtor days be like? Sir, it should be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Where exactly?
So because we have a mix of API, finished dosage form, and various distribution networks that we work under, I would say 90 days is a good target to have in the near term.
Sir, and our suppliers of raw materials, sir, what kind of credit do we get from there on a steady state basis?
It really depends from product to product, but average, I would say about 60 days.
Okay, sir. Sir, thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Narendra with White House Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, yes, I can.
Sir, you are already into anesthesia and critical care drugs, right? And when it comes to hospital business, in the presentation, you have mentioned that you will be entering into other divisions like metro, nutrition, medical devices, onco, and renal care. What type of products you are going to launch, sir, and how many quarters or years it's going to take to have a meaningful revenue from these divisions?
So again, there was a lot of echo, but I hope I've understood the question. So I'll just quickly summarize. I think the question was that we are into anesthesia and we are into critical care. We intend to get into more divisions. So what kind of products we are going to launch? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I think in anesthesia, we have, I would like to say that almost a complete portfolio apart from gases. So we have done pretty well over there. In critical, this is a year where I'm building a critical care portfolio because we feel that in critical care, there's a significant value proposition that is there. And we will also couple it up with some of our internal developments in terms of novel delivery systems, novel formulations which are there. There's so much disturbance in the background. So perhaps you could just mute yourself and make it easier to listen. As we go by, we intend to get into all the areas essentially that are possible in the hospital business. But it will not all happen in 1 year. It will happen over a period of next 3 to 4 years, where every year we will keep on adding teams, like we added this year. Hopefully by the end of this calendar year, we will start building upon a third team for the hospital business in an area where we feel there's enough potential. So it is a step-by-step process.
Sir, I was looking at your R&D pipeline for formulation. It has mentioned around 28 products, and out of 28 products, only 4 have completed validation batches. Does that mean these will be launched too soon, or should they go through any further approval process?
It's a mix. Our product. Are you referring to the finish? I presume you are referring to the finished dosage form, right?
Yes, sir.
In terms of the finished dosage form, the strategy is quite mixed. One part of the finished dosage form development works towards the export market. So we are targeting 40 odd emerging markets where we feel there is significant potential. So we are developing even generics, which we feel would have significant value proposition years ahead. So that is one particular strategy. The second is a strategy for the Indian market where we feel that we could have the first launch opportunity in India, like we are going to do with remifentanil. And the third area that we are working on in terms of product development is new drug delivery systems. So if you see all these three areas, will require time. It is not going to be an immediate, a market that we can get. So if it's for exports, typically the regulatory approval takes about a year to year and a half. If it is for first time to India launch, we may have to do clinical trials after that. And if it is NDDSs, we will also have to do studies. So this is where we are focused in terms of our R&D. We want to do high return or high value proposition R&D internally. For our sales and marketing team, it is not necessary that the products need to come from our R&D only. We work with multiple manufacturers of products which will align into our strategy for hospitals.
In continuation of the same question, all these formulations are like NSAIDs, opioids, vitamins and all things are antiacids. In the last call, you mentioned that probably you're looking at a gross margin of around 60%, 70%, 80%. Is it possible to get such high margins considering all these are generics? I know there are variants which are like new drug delivery system or a DTV in this thing, but is it possible to get such high gross margin using this?
Sorry, your question was, are we confident that we can get gross margins of 50, 60, 80% on the development pipeline that we have? Is that what the question was?
Correct.
Yes, we very much hope so because, if you see all the three areas that we are working in, if we are working in projects which are generics for the emerging markets, we feel that the pricing is pretty high. That is the reason why we have selected those products. If we look at NDDSs, we most definitely should aim for those kind of margins. Otherwise, we will never be able to recover the development costs with regards to the same. And if it's a first launch opportunity in India, again the margins would be pretty good. So I think the products that will have low margin, strategically we choose to source from outside and not necessarily manufacture ourselves. What we want to develop ourselves is most definitely something which gives us good margin.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai with Turtle Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So my first question is, in your presentation, you mentioned that API, right, after total production, 98% is exports. While on the formulation side, I believe a large part of our business is domestic focus. So in terms of formulation business, do we have any good integration APIs and can highlight on that?
Sorry, I could not hear you. I understood the first part of it, that this much 33-odd% is, or most of the exports is comes from API and most of the domestic comes from finished dosage form. But what is the question after that?
Right. So the question is that on the domestic portfolio, on the finished side, how much backward integration do we have? from API and way down?
That's a good question. We don't have significant backward integration as yet, but with time we intend to make sure that we have more and more APIs produced in-house for us. We feel this is important from a strategic perspective.
And if I remember correctly, earlier there were plans to kind of, you know, play business in a separate entity and probably eventually demerge. That plan is on, or are we going to carry on as a single entity?
Sorry, I really could not. Are you talking about the demerger that we had proposed?
Yeah.
So that particular thing has still not happened yet. That is for our API business, where we had proposed a demerger. But it has not happened as yet. There is a fair amount of regulatory process that we need to go through to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, but eventually the thought process is to have two separate entities, one with the finished dosage form and then one running page.
Yes. The idea over there is that to grow the API business, we will have to invest quite significantly in infrastructure. We have a few of products now that we have developed at the R&D level, but to take it to the market, while right now we are able to do it, but we feel that there is a lot of potential in the API business to make it grow significantly if we are willing to put in the funds which are required in terms of the capex. So in all, the finished dosage form is more of a OPEX business, while the API business is more of a CAPEX business. So there are two different philosophies in terms of running both the business, and hence we felt that it would be a good idea to do this so that both the businesses can flourish and get the value proposition that is possible.
Okay. Second question is, you know, you talked about, you know, one of the strategy for dosage form in terms of tapping, you know, products which are first to launch in India. My question is that compared to very...
Sorry, I'm missing you. I'm losing you.
You are able to hear me?
Yeah.
So my question is, you know, you mentioned that one of the strategy for domestic market, you know, launch for in India kind of put very large pharma company, really small with public distribution network. So, you know, are we looking at very small niche products, or, you know, does gap exist where we as a smaller company can still compete with large companies?
So you are absolutely right. You know, everyone wants to do first launches in the country, and we don't have the critical size as yet to be able to say that we are going to take the large molecules and have the opportunity to first time launches, because everyone is doing it. So we pick the products that we feel, you know, we have a dominant position. So if we feel that we are one of the leaders in anesthesia, we look at that particular area, like we did for remifentanil. But you are very right that opportunities of these kind are seldom and few. But whatever we see, we have to go for. I think in terms of what we are doing, we feel that's a significant value proposition.
Okay. And one more last question, if you allow me. You know, you said that we have hired a lot of people on the sales. And if I look at, you know, FY22 and FY23, the percentage from trade side has remained at around 11%. So with hiring of this new sales force and over next 2-3 years, how do you see that percentage on trade side moving, you know, from 11 to a much higher number, or will it remain at the same?
So our almost, I would say predominantly, most of the hiring that has happened is not on the trade side, but on the hospital side. So if you see the hospital number, last year was about 113 crores or so. So this is where we expect a significant jump in the year ahead.
Okay. So the focus is on expanding the hospital business.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Good. I have more questions, but I'll come back in a few.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Javeer Singh with Shade Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So sir, in the presentation, you have mentioned actually, I am new to the company. So in the presentation, you have mentioned 35% CAGR growth for next two, three years. So can you elaborate the strategy? What is the strategy to achieve these numbers?
So I think we are well positioned in all the key areas that we are currently focusing on. The first one, by far, being the hospital business. Our current team, I believe, is reasonably strong. We have added an additional team, which I feel is also pretty strong. So these two areas will give us the maximum jump that we are planning in this particular year. And along with that, we suffered last year in terms of almost about two quarters because of one of our key APIs coming under pricing pressure, us not being able to produce it because for every kilo that we produce, we either made no profit at all, even at the gross level, or we, in fact, even lost some money. But we had to do it because we had contractual obligations. So that API part should also show us a reasonably good jump with the new manufacturing process, improved manufacturing process in place, which has already started as we speak. And third area is, if I may say so, the trade area. I think we've made some corrective actions over there also, and we are seeing some light of the day over there too. But I think if I have to put in the major emphasis in terms of growth for this year would come from hospital and API. And out of that, also more on hospital.
Sir, my second question is, in the presentation, you have mentioned new opportunities in the medical devices and renal care. So what the company will do in the medical devices?
So that's something that I mentioned in the previous question, that our endeavor is to get into all areas of the hospital. We've seen that this is a market which is growing and is going to grow continuously, essentially because more and more people in the country are having health insurance, and they will choose to go to hospitals, nursing homes, etc. And in lieu of that, that is the reason why we are focused on this. Now, not all divisions will be launched on day one. I think we have to be careful about our bottom line also. So as days go by, as we see success from our first and the second team, we will build multiple teams to focus on the hospital business. Now, your question was with regards to medical device. We are looking at multiple opportunities, some of them generic, some of them perhaps not launched in India yet. So quite a few things on the avenue. But I can tell you for sure that it will not be in this particular year that we will launch it. We will perhaps put a team in place depending upon how progress in the company is going in January or so, as we did this year because the team was really a new team. The second team was set up in January this year so that it can be ready by the following April to go into the market.
Yeah. Thank you. And I have one last question. So in anesthesia and intensive care in the hospital business, who are our competitors?
So I would put it this way, that there are quite a few companies that visit hospitals, and each of the companies specializes in separate areas. So for example, with anesthesia, we focus on what happens inside the operation theater. In the second team that we are forming, we focus on the intensive care unit. So in anesthesia, I would put it this way, that you have Neon, you have Abbott, you have a couple of other companies that are based over there. In the intensive care units, a lot of companies, I would say, so we need to be careful in terms of how we pitch ourselves and what is the value-added proposition that we bring to the hospital, because it has to be a win-win, otherwise it doesn't work. So I would say the entire pharmaceutical industry would be in the hospitals, but how we carve out our share and belong over there is a key point over there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nikhil Arora, an investor. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Hi.
As mentioned in the speech, there has been a significant CapEx incurred in the different aspects of the businesses. So if you could kindly throw some light on the total CapEx amount incurred in FY 2023.
Tushar bhai, would you be able to give the exact number?
Yes, sir. I'm Tushar Dalal. So in Haridwar, we have spent around, say, 14.65 crore to upgrade our facilities for EU GMP and making some additional line for the injectables. So that works out around, say, 14.65 crore. In the Vapi factory, we have spent around, say, 11 crores of rupees. That is also we have added into the plant and machinery and the construction of some buildings for the refurbishment projects. And we have also added some of the R&D equipments and all other things in the Hyderabad. So nearly, say, 129 lakhs is there. So total works out to around, say, 29 crores of rupees.
Sir, we also set up a new R&D lab in Baroda, if I'm not wrong. So what was the cost for incurred to set up this new lab?
That is at around, say, 117 lakhs. And that is that, we show it under this particular Baroda. So 117 lakhs is there.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir. One last question. As we see the company is changing its focus on hospital business, so how do we see it as benefiting the company? And what is the current EBITDA margin and the target EBITDA margin that we are planning to achieve for this segment, the hospital segment?
So was the question, how is the CapEx that we have done last year going to assist our focus on the hospital business?
No, sir. As we are changing our focus towards the hospital business, so an overall point of view, like, how it is going to benefit the company?
So-
Like, what is the current EBITDA margin or what we, or what, EBITDA margins are we targeting at?
So we are, we are... So if you see the year that passed by, for the full year, we had an EBITDA margin of about 19%, just slightly over 19%. I believe that a healthy EBITDA margin would be anywhere above 25%. So that is what we would be focusing on and targeting. And we believe that, as our people start giving us more productivity, we should be in a position to attain this. At the end of the day, the fixed costs will remain the same. We don't intend to increase our fixed costs beyond where it is right now. There would be the usual increments, et cetera, but besides that, we don't intend to increase the headcount as we speak. So automatically, the additional business that they bring in will add to the EBITDA margin. And of course, this EBITDA margin was under pressure for the last quarter and to a certain extent, the quarter before, because of one of our APIs, you know, not contributing at all. So I think both these factors should be the largest contributors to the EBITDA margin.
Got it. Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Harsh Sharma, an investor. Please proceed.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
So my first question is that, if we see there's been a 5 crore increase in long-term borrowing, like, could you please explain, like, what is the purpose of this borrowing?
So, we have taken a a line of credit in form of a term loan from our current bankers in order to do this CapEx plan which is there. It, as Tushar involved, as mentioned, it went into the following areas. One is to upgrade our facility in Haridwar so that we can have EU GMP qualification. The second was in Vapi, our API facility. The third partly was in Hyderabad to have our R&D labs capacity increase. And fourth was to set up a small lab in Baroda for strategic reasons. So this is where the long-term borrowing has come in from.
I understand. Thank you. So, and if we see, the PPE investment is also, it is like 19 crores. There's an investment in PPE. Could you like throw some light on the same? Like,
sorry, what investment?
There's been a 19 crores of investment in the PPE. So what is the reason for that, sir?
PPE.
Sachinbhai is talking about the additions to the fixed assets. PPE means the plant, property, plant.
Plant, yeah.
So the...
Tushar, can you shed light on this?
Yeah. So the gross investment in the current year is around 29 crore. So the 19 is after the adjusting the depreciation. So this is a net of depreciation, additions of 19 crore. So in fact, we have added the machineries and building worth around 29 crores, as I mentioned in the earlier call, earlier queries. So 29 minus 10, 10 is the depreciation, accumulated depreciation. So that works out to 19 crores of rupees.
Okay, fine. And like, sir, directly, if you see, top line has decreased by 10%. Why on why?
Yes.
So, like, what is the reason for this?
So again, I put down my opening remarks that in the previous year we had a one-time COVID-related business of 60 odd crores, and this business was obviously not there in the current year. And most of the business that we had in the COVID year was in terms of exports. So that business was essentially zero. In fact, I would say to a certain extent it was minus. And the reason why I say minus is because some people who had our usual customers who had bought the materials did not buy anything in the current year because they had inventory from the previous year.
Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Narendra with White House Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. When you say you are entering into intensive care division, the products will be similar to what you are already marketing under anesthesia, like sedative narcotics, or will there be any specific products you are introducing for the intensive care?
I would put it this way, that the product overlap between and the two divisions would probably be 4-5%. But otherwise, they would be all separate products from what we are marketing right now.
Can you mention few products, sir, which will be launching in intensive care?
It would essentially be a lot of antimicrobials and many other things along with that as time goes by. Again, the focus would be that, you know, like we had an anesthesia, anything that an anesthesiologist uses or it goes into a surgery, we launch. Similarly, will be the case in intensive care. We have currently taken the antimicrobial basket to launch. But then ultimately, whatever is used in the intensive care, our team will be launching.
Can you update on your FIMA strategy? What is the current input cost? I think you already reduced the FIMA stock in production.
No, I think we are, as I mentioned, we have restarted the production. And that is it. And the cost is better than what it was before. So I would not be comfortable giving exactly what the costing of the product is, but it's better than before.
Oh.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai with Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Thanks for the opportunity again. So one part to understand respect to hospital business and partnering or so in terms of thinking about this business compared to a normal great business, is it a right way to think that the gross margins are typically lower because the bargaining power of hospital is slightly higher, but then your productivity of your sales force is much higher because you can sell in quantity. So is that a right way to think? And
overall, it's a fair statement. It's a fair statement to make. It has a little bit of glitches to it, but I think overall what you are saying is correct. And then the whole challenge is how do you make this team also give you good margins as a trade team does. And that is where I believe that we possibly have cracked how to do that. So I will not say anything more than that, but I will say that we need to make sure that margins are good and we don't discount the product beyond the particular level. And I think we are managing that reasonably well as we speak. What happens in the future, we'll have to see.
And one point you mentioned, Sachin, is about the productivity. You said that without much increase in the fixed cost that it sales force, you will be still be able to grow at a decent rate. So typically in this segment, in pharma, PCPM is a one parameter that everybody uses. So any sense on where we are today, and any kind of targets that you have set for yourself in terms of where you want to be in a couple of years from here?
We are pretty low, if I have to be honest. We are low in terms of PCPM. Hence, I see a significant upside. So from here, there's only one way we can go in terms of PCPM. So the reason I'm not giving you an exact number is because we have multiple teams, and some teams would be doing extremely well, some teams would not be doing very well. But this is a year for us to essentially consolidate and make sure that as a company, we come up to a particular level in PCPM, because we brought in a lot of people last year. The number of people that we increased in the field was almost about 150, and we need to make sure that we have at least 90-95% of our field force productive.
Okay. So is that a fair way to understand that the incremental margin improvement to a large extent will come from this productivity improvement?
Absolutely.
Okay. And just a request, since this is one of the major drivers of margin improvement, if you can give some quantitative sense in presentation or call, that would be very helpful to understand how the trajectory has been shaping up.
I think it's a fair point. We will look into this.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached to the end of the question and answer session, and I would like to hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel for closing comments.
Thanks very much. So finally, I would like to thank the entire team of Themis Medicare for their untiring efforts, hard work and dedication, which drives the company forward through various market conditions. And also thank you everyone for your participation in our earnings call. In case of any further queries, you may get in touch with AdFactors PR, or feel free to get in touch with us. We look forward to interacting with you. Thank you again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Themis Medicare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.